Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
And today we're talking about creating an encounter.
Yes, making your monsters tough enough for
Your group. A lot of things. There's a lot of things to consider for you to when you create an encounter for your group. There's all kinds of factors that come in play. You know, what's going on, what part of the world they're in, and all of this stuff. A lot of people will talk about balance, a balanced encounter.
I've never talked about this, but go for it.
People talk about it, other people, you know. And I'm not much into balanced encounter. I do, you know, balance it in a certain way that, you know, I'm not going to put a couple kobolds against 10th level characters and...
Because they would just laugh at them as they killed them.
Well, it could be an encounter, but it's not going to be either. It's going to be a real short one, or it's going to be, you know, just kind of comical as far as, you know, what's going to go on.
You did have that. What was that little? Was he a kobold or something that ended up staying in someone's backpack because they felt sorry for him?
Yes, he was a goblin.
A goblin, yes.
Dink was his name.
He became part of the team for a while.
So encounters. What do you want out of encounter? I think those are the questions you should ask. That's a big question you should ask when you create one.
This topic came about because I was telling Saul that I'm running a new adventure campaign, or whatever you want to call it, for everybody. And these players are 10th level.
10th level, yes.
And my son goes, my dad doesn't like to run adventures for high level because he always says the monsters are hard to get. So me being me, I go, okay, I'll do it. No idea what I'm getting into.
Hold my beer, she says.
So you get this idea, right? And you have the whole, you have it mapped out in your head and or on paper, depending on who you are. And so you have the plot of your story, but you never know where the people are going to go or what they're going to do. So most importantly, for every adventure session, if you're playing D&D and your players, like Saul says, they're murder hobos, or they really enjoy battles and fighting is the best part for them. Right. Then you need to make sure you have a good encounter for them each time for whatever mystery they're trying to solve and stuff. That is part of it, but then the battle is another part of it. And I know they go hand in hand, but when you're creating it, it's two separate things in your brain, to me, because you have to figure out what monsters to put up against people. So I literally had to put an army up against these people of trolls and goblins and hobgoblins, and they still took them out. And I was like, okay, obviously these guys are not strong enough for them. So I went to the undead, and they seemed to really enjoy it. But unfortunately for me, in creating these, I wasn't sure on the level of the monsters, how to do it. So I just looked for monsters with a lot of hit points and something that would fit into my story. And I know that's probably not the way you're supposed to do it, but that's Jolene's way.
I mean, that's what almost everybody does, right? They look in the monster manual, or they look wherever they're going to look for something that's comparable to the level of the characters. And that's exactly it. When I was saying that I don't really care about a balanced encounter. I mean, I don't count hit points and stuff like that. I look at a monster, and if it looks pretty cool and he has about a right amount of hit points, then that's what I decide to do, or you know, and that's who I picked for the encounter. And you know, usually you know where the players are going, especially if they're on a quest, or
if it's your adventure,
they're
yes,
tasked on doing a certain project. You know, you already know which way they're going or how they're going to get there. So you can come up with these encounters that have a reason to be there for whatever reason, you know, whatever you could come up with. And that's just part of the story. The actual what monsters to use, that's pretty in that. For me, I just use monsters that seem pretty cool. A problem is you have to figure out the monster's level in a certain sense, right? You don't want the monster to totally crush the party in 2 rounds.
It was like the one time we were playing Pathfinder, and you brought banshees against us, and you hadn't read how much damage they did, and like one of their screams took out all of our hit points. So Saul had to fly had to adjust what they did, or one of us was totally dead.
That was Pathfinder. So Pathfinder, yeah. I don't know. Could you go into the negative hit points in Pathfinder?
I have no idea.
I think you did. There was no death saves. So Yeah, so that was a mistake on my part, and that was from me not reading the whole entry. I just, oh, Banshee, oh, this is what they do. Oh, cool. And when I reread during when I had the sheet and I was running them during combat, I'm like, oh wow, they do this much of damage. And it was it was a mistake on my part.
But you can't adjust the monsters for stuff like that, right?
If I consider that I made a grievous mistake, yes. If I thought this was an encounter that they could handle, and I really didn't give them the idea that this was an encounter that they couldn't handle. Like years ago, you guys encountered a white dragon. You guys were only like fifth level, and everybody in the party knew that there was no way you guys can handle
it. We ran away.
Well, you didn't run away, but you didn't go after this white dragon and didn't go after, except for Tarogi, right?
Oh, yes, that was a different one, yes.
Yeah, he goes and punches him. So in that case, pretty much everybody in the party, you know, the character-wise, were like, hell no, we're not going to chase that thing. We're hoping that it doesn't
wake up and kill us.
Well, it was flying around, remember? It was kind of like checking you guys out, but you guys actively tried staying away from it and hiding and stuff. And you definitely didn't go after it. That's one of the times when your encounter, you're telling the players, this is not an encounter that you're going to fight. This is just, you know, something strange to throw in a mix or give you an idea of what's going on or whatever, however you want to look at it. Or maybe foreshadowing that in the future this guy might come into play.
So that's an interesting idea. You really have to know your characters and what your players. Yes. Yeah. Well, and how they're going to play their characters. Yes. Like for me, I know that my son does some ridiculous amount of damage and everybody in the party, their average damage is like 40 points or something if they hit. They're and everything.
Yeah.
So I did this last encounter that I did. I put up these giant skeletons. So they were giants that were skeletons and they were huge, right? And these guys are in a ruins, and I had no idea what the giant skeletons did because I was really pressed for time. So I printed out all of the things that people could do. Unfortunately for me, the boys have read all the monster manuals backwards and forwards. They know what the monsters do, and they also are at this age, they're 15 and 18 right now, and they really want to participate, and they're very excited about the mechanics of fifth edition right now, and they've always been excited about all the mechanics, but they know the hit dice, they know what the spells do, they know how the encounter is going to happen once they can see the monster and have an idea of what it is, right? So I took this, we're in this ruins, and Saul does the one thing that you're not supposed to do. And by the way, he had just stopped running this game and let me run it. And so he just made this 10th level character. He's very excited about him. He's this paladin. And he goes down the hallway by himself. And he runs into these giant skeletons. And then what happened?
Well, they hit me. They brought me down to 0 hit points.
And what happened is I rolled the dice for the two skeletons. They both got to hit him. I had no idea how much damage they did. And the boys, they counted up. You got two criticals. This is what happened, blah, blah, blah. And they went after they got all the dice out and two of them rolled them. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, in my head, I'm going to kill my husband. I didn't mean to.
She was saying how sorry she was, but I thought it was fantastic. I thought it gave the group something to be apprehensive about and saying, oh, these things are pretty tough. Of course, they got really lucky. You know, one, my armor class is pretty high, so I thought I was pretty
He's pretty got protected. Like a 24 armor class. I couldn't hit him with anything.
But I only have 80 hit points where, like, I think Augustine's Barbarian has like
100 and something.
150 or some crazy amount. And they all have a lot of hit points, right? But so I don't, you know, I didn't. My idea is that my idea is not to get hit because I'm
He's a tank,
literally. And so, but I did. They rolled really high. They got two criticals on me, and they did a massive amount of damage in one round, both of them. So I went down, and I thought it was a good. I thought it was fine. She was,
and I was freaking out because I didn't want to kill him. And I'm like, and they're all, he's all, it's okay. I'm not going to die. And of course, the party goes into this, oh, Saul's down mode, and they just took over, and they got him out of the situation, and they healed him, and all kinds of things, and I'm like, whew.
I wasn't worried about it.
I was worried. I didn't want to kill somebody on our second session.
I think it's a good idea. I think it was fantastic for you to bring us down. In fact, killing a character, will give maybe this humble this group a little bit, you know, because they really think they're invincible. I mean, they really do.
That's not my intention at all, but the idea of how do you pick the monsters? So I thought those monsters turned out to be really good for the party, even though I accidentally almost killed you.
That's fine.
I thought it was so exciting, and the boys were so into it. And I know a lot of GMs, you know, they roll behind a screen or but Saul is against that. So we usually roll in front of everybody, which changes it just a little bit, especially when everybody's around the table and we have like 8 players or something.
Yeah, there's no fudging. Everybody can see what you're doing. Which is what I like.
And then the boys are so excited about the whole me running the monsters because I print them out so I can see them or make a copy. And I'm looking at it, right? And so, but Ian is sitting right next to me and he goes, oh, and I'll ask him a question because I don't know all the rules like I'm supposed to, I suppose. And he'll go, oh, this guy can do this. And he's in his head, but he doesn't tell anybody because nobody else knows, right? So he's all, and then he'll help me with it just a little bit. But then all of a sudden, when they figure out how many hit points they have, what their abilities are and what their armor class is, then it's like on for them. And they're like thinking, what can I do? So it was really cool in a way and really scary in a way because I'm coming up with these monsters and my monsters have to be really strong. So it's a give and take of how you're going to. So that's what I'm talking about by an encounter. How do you create it so it's a lot of fun for them and yet you don't accidentally kill your players when you're not meaning to? I mean, I know some GMs do kill their players on purpose, but I wasn't trying to.
I mean, I'm not talking about killing people on purpose. I'm saying there's a threat there enough to.
It did put them on their toes when they realized how strong.
I mean,
they
that's
were.
Exactly what happened. And a lot of that had to do with the terrain, right? Because we were in these ruins, which blocked line of sight, which separated us a little bit. And
they got stuck in hallways where the people behind couldn't get through.
Yes, exactly. And so that's what I was going to talk about next was how to make an encounter. Now, for me, picking a monster is like half the battle for me. The other part is the environment. And where is this encounter going to take place? And that could have a huge impact in the adventure and in the action. And that's exactly what happened with my character. He goes charging in past, you know, because there was nobody. Everything else was dead or undead again or whatever you want to call it. And so I go charging into this one room. I see this one creature, but unfortunately there was two of them, and they both did really well. They, you know, Jolene rolled really, really high. I think she got like a 19 and 220s, right? So those criticals are what really basically, you know, did my character in. And it wasn't like I wasn't bad planning on Jolene's part. It wasn't, I mean, it was a bad idea on my part, but not really, because for the most part, I thought I should have not gotten hit. She got very lucky. She got very lucky on that roll of the dice. So that encounter was pretty fun for me because it made the party think that it was possible for one of us to go down. When they pretty much think that they're super powerful and anything they come across, they can usually take out. A lot of it has to do with what Jolene says is that they know the monster manual forwards and backwards. And when you have players like that throwing a monster, because that monster didn't come from the monster manual.
No, it came from one of the new supplements.
Right. And so they haven't had time to fully digest everything in that book, I guess. Or they haven't really cracked open that book. I guess Dean hasn't really cracked open any of those new books.
No, he's been too busy because they have homework and stuff now.
That's right. He does have homework. So in that case, you know, when I went down and those monsters attacked me, they were pretty surprised.
Yes, but it forced them to go into action to save you, right? Right.
Yeah, and I think that was pretty neat. I mean, one was the fact that everything changed at that moment, right? Oh my God, the paladin's down. Oh my God, you know, like that they were, there wasn't a panic, but it was like, you know, stuff just got real, right?
And just so you know, I did these ruins and I kind of based it off the idea because I'd been reading from 3. Whatever about Forgotten Realms and
3.0,
and I was, and it, a lot of these guys have these tables where they roll dice to choose what monsters are going to come up or what to put inside of the dungeon or the ruins, right?
Oh yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I go, well, the boys love treasure, okay, and so I put all these chests in this ruins, right? And this was the bad guys' ruins, the Zentarum. So not only were there undead, but there were treasures, so they weren't sure, and they weren't sure what was going on.
sneaky bastard.
So Saul goes down, and I was like, I freaked out because I was just like, oh my God, I killed my husband. And I was, and the boys are like going, this is great. And all of a sudden, all of them go into role-playing mode. And they're in this hallway, and they cannot get through to get to him, except for our friend Jason. He plays this cat character. I forget what he is.
Tabaxi, I think it's
called. And so he's climbing on the wall, and he gets Saul off the ground, and he pulls him back behind the other people. So then they go into healing mode, and the cleric heals him.
Right.
And all kinds of different things. So he was out for a couple rounds, I guess, because he had to roll to make sure he didn't, to his death save or whatever.
I think I only had to make one death save before they cured
me. They got
me.
You. Yeah.
And I made that death save. So it wasn't even dramatic. If I had failed that death save, that's pretty dramatic. But, you know, D&D, 5th edition, is really hard to kill a character, especially with those death saves, because you got 3 rounds of trying to before you die, after you go to 0, and there's no negative hit points like there was in previous editions. So like in previous editions, if you went to -10, you were automatically dead, right? There was no ifs, ands, or buts. Give me your character sheet, I tear it up in front of you, make you cry, and light the pieces of paper on fire, right? So I mean, of course I've never done that, but yeah, so this encounter, which Jolene thought that she made a mistake in that sense, I thought it was perfect.
Well, I'm just learning how right. hard the monsters need to be and which monsters to pick, because it's really hard with higher level players.
I agree. Yeah, so, and that's the problem you have, is that you haven't had this experience with, you know, you've been on the player side of these guys, and so, you know, jumping in at 10th level to run this game is pretty tough, and especially, you know, you haven't run a game for a while and you haven't run a campaign style game, so and jumping in the deep end of the pool is pretty amazing and pretty tough. And that's why, you know, that's what came up with why that's why she we came up with this idea about encounters and what, you know, how to make them and how to make them interesting. And for me, like I said, I don't really care about balance too much, but definitely it is something that you should consider as far as the level of the monster and the level of the players. And, like I said before, you know, you don't want the players just to roll over these guys, and you don't want the monster to just kill them in one round and stomp on them, right? You want something that's a little bit of tap back and forth, a little bit of weariness. Like this, me going down was perfect. I thought it was amazing.
And you were talking about how it was more the not only the monster but the setting.
Right, and so the setting in this case was these ruins, and so, you know, we couldn't see each other. There was a lot of block line of sight. There was these narrow hallways where only one of us could fit, and that was my problem. I went down these narrow hallways, went down, and so there was only one person who could like get to me, and it was just exciting. I thought it was exciting. I thought it was real interesting, and that's where I think encounters can be, you know, more than just a back and forth fight against each other, is where these encounters take place. You know, this encounter was placed in the ruins. It changed the whole dynamic of the fight, because it wasn't like two massive armies going against each other. They were running around here, they're running around there. They couldn't see or hear what was going on in the next room, and it caused all kinds of havoc with the players, right? And it was exciting because we didn't know what was around the corner. We didn't know if there were only two of these undead giant skeletons, or they could have been 5 or 10 of them. We didn't know, because everything was blocked line of sight. And so that's one of the things I was going to talk about is location, is the terrain. You know, where is this encounter taking place? And I think that really helps make the game memorable and fun at the same time. And, you know, and this will probably, you know, my son and the group will probably talk about my paladin going down for years, because, you know, because it was so memorable. It was so, you know, interesting part of the game.
Because Saul did the one thing you're not supposed to do.
Well, you know, there was no choice, right? I was going to go down that hallway no matter what. You know, whether somebody was right behind me or not, of course, that was a big mistake. But they were just finishing off mopping up some other group, and I had nothing to do. So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go over here. And I get, you know, I was like a pinball between these two giants. And they were the flippers, like hitting me back and forth.
And since everything is rolled on the table where yes. everybody can see it, it makes a difference. And when the boys can figure out what the what the hit points are and what the how many hit dice the monster uses yes. and all that. I didn't even get a roll for the monsters. I rolled the criticals, and then they took over. Yeah. Oh my God, they have blah blah blah, and they got
out. You killed me.
They had all these dice out, and they rolled them, and they said the number of hit points. And so I was like, I'm all, did I kill you? I'm sorry. And that was it.
No, kill me was the little bastards that gave me all those hit points. So. Exactly, it was a great encounter, regardless of the fact that she was worried about killing me. If she had killed me, I thought it would be a good idea. It would have been fantastic, because what this group lacks, and that's my fault, is a little bit of a fear of death. Right? They really think that they can go after anything and come out the other side no problem.
Well, their average hitting is like 40 points of damage. So,
well, yeah, and so they're super mini maxed, but at the same time, I think, like I said, this terrain really really broke up their mojo, right? How they worked, because when the group can mob on something, you know, they can be horrible, you know.
And I'm learning as I go, and. So when you're running a campaign or an adventure and you have to create these different encounters, you want to balance it out between, role-playing versus fighting.
Right.
But you really want to have a good fight for them to get excited
exactly.
about.
Exactly. I was going to start off by saying this whole thing is that you have to know your players, right? You got to know what they like. You got to know what they find entertaining. And if you find a group of players that are really into mystery and stuff like that, and you throw a combat encounter, they may not be all that happy, or not happy. They'll be happy, but they may not be as interested as if, you know, getting clues solving a murder mystery or something like that. You know, you can run that in D&D no problem. I know people say, well, D&D isn't a mystery game. Well, that's a bunch of bunkus, right? You can run any kind of game in any kind of system you want. You know, it's up to you. But knowing what the players like Jolene knows that my son and his friends, these teenagers, they love combat. They love their prowess against some other thing, right? You know, fitting their prowess against another monster. Against a monster and seeing, you know, that they're going to come out victorious. And I think what made the difference in this game, in this encounter, was the ruins, that it totally changed the dynamic of the game. So that's what I'm saying. If you add the element of terrain, if you add the element of location, like let's say it was a swamp. So my paladin would have probably had a pretty tough time trying to walk through a swamp. You know, your movement is probably cut down to half. You know, you're at disadvantage because you're wearing plate mail. The swamp is sucking at your feet. You know, and you have these things that fly and attack you, you know, or you're in a gully, or the encounter takes place in ruins, in this case. Totally changes the dynamic of the game, and it makes it interesting, and it makes it memorable. And it was fun. And so that's what I'm after when I run an encounter. Is it fun? Is it exciting? And is it memorable? If you get those three things, then you're running a good game. Encounter-wise, about the level, you know, there's some hints in the monster manual. They have are they still called challenge ratings?
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, the challenge rating is like the level of the monster, right?
But when you're flipping through the monster manual trying to figure out what kind of monsters you can throw at these people because they do so much damage, you're not always, you're reading it and you're under pressure sometimes to time-wise, I mean, not pressure to perform or anything, but just pressure to get stuff that's going to work. And you never really know until you actually are sitting there with the players. Right. It's like creating, and there's other encounters that don't have anything to do with fighting and monsters.
Correct.
Creating NPCs that are memorable and doing things to, like, and they haven't even gotten to the heart of my story yet because I had to get them from one place to another. And part of that had to do with getting through these things that were in my head. And they love it. And I'm like going, oh, they're going to be bored once we get to where we're going. But I'm going to try to make sure that doesn't happen. So I got to come up with all these other ideas. So it's a lot. It's really hard to come up with these encounters.
The life of a GM, right? Is coming up with ideas that's going to entertain this group of players.
But it's very exciting when they get excited.
Yes.
And I was very stressed out and I had a headache and it's winter time and my sinuses were bothering me. So I had a headache both times I've run the game.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really hard to, that's one of the reasons I let the boys help me with the monsters during the game because they enjoy that part. It gives them a special, because they love that stuff, they right? Do. They love the crunching the numbers and all that. So when no, you have fun. A, when you know your players and you know that they can, you can give them something, and they, just because they look at the sheet that you're using and they know what the monster can do, that doesn't mean, it doesn't change a lot about what they're going to do, because that just makes them think harder. So you got to make sure you come up with really good ideas on what to throw at your players, especially if they play a lot.
Right. And you talked about NPCs. I had totally failed to talk about NPCs. NPCs can also make the game more interesting by making them weird or making them unstrange or do weird things or strange things that seemingly doesn't help their cause, right? And that just makes them even more memorable. Like Dink, the goblin that the party adopted. You know, I gave him a name, which was probably different than other things. And then, you know, I made him, you know, just a little bit different, a little, you know.
He was hungry, and the boys wanted to feed him.
Yeah, and so instead of just murdering him, which they had done to everything else, I was surprised that, you know. But, you know, I guess it was, you could kill hundreds of nameless goblins, but name one Dink, and like, oh, and he's a runt. And so, oh, he's cute, right? And so my son didn't want to kill him. And so he became part of the party in a certain sense.
They fed him cheese, and there was a whole role-playing aspect to it that was totally crazy.
I go, yeah, it was pretty good. So things like that, NPCs make the games memorable, makes the encounter memorable, location. And, of course, you know, the Monster Manual or whatever book you're using, they have challenge ratings. And you could, if you have a PDF or you have the SRD on an electronic format, you can even... You know, you can even, what is it, just click on the level of the monster that you want, and it will show you all the monsters of that level.
Oh, see, I don't. And then, I had to go online and do that.
And there's charts. I forget if it's in the DM's guide or in one of the Volo's guides where they have the list of monsters by, not only by level, but also by terrain. Like if you're in a desert or if you're in a, you know, I don't know.
Yes, I saw those charts, yeah. And they confused the hell out of me. One of my problems is that I took this idea because we were in Waterdeep. So I go, well, they're in Waterdeep, so let's go from there. So Saul goes, handed me, I go, I need some ideas. So he handed me all of these things that I said, do you have anything about the Silver Marches? And so he handed me a book, right?
About
the Silver Marches. And then I go, what about Waterdeep? And he handed me a book about that. And then these are all 3.0 books. 3.0 books. They're settings, and they have all these history and stuff. So I got this great idea, but then I have to not only change it to 5th edition, and the monsters aren't quite the same, and there's different things. So it makes it interesting to try to come up with these encounters.
Right.
So if you're running a game, I suggest that there's all kinds of sources for you to look at.
Right. Yeah, Joni's benefited from my extensive library of RPG products, and it's a lot of fun for her to see her digging into these things, getting ideas, and then seeing those ideas being played out on the game table. And I have no idea what she's come up with. You know, she gives me a rough idea of some ideas of, not a rough ideas, but
I ask him questions.
She asks me questions, which of course gives me an idea of what she's doing. You know, would this be possible? Would this be a good idea? I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds good. So I know kind of what she's talking about or where she, you know.
But
where...
he never has any idea how it's going to play out.
Yeah. And that's the thing about role-playing games. You don't know how it's going to play out. You don't know what's going to happen. And that's what I like GMing about role-playing games. Because when you don't know how it's going to turn out, that's perfect. That's what you want.
And as far as I know, you never know how it's going to turn out, because the only reason I decided to do this was so Saul could play, because he's always complaining he doesn't get to play, which is a total lie. But I allowed it for him. So, and he didn't want to run a high level game. So I thought, okay, I can do this. And it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. So if you're going to try to create your own game and you're not very experienced, I suggest you find someone who is actually a GM. And I mean, I know I've run games at conventions and stuff for kids, but it's different when you're trying to do a campaign kind of thing. Yeah. It changes it a little bit. So, but it makes it a lot of fun, and trying to figure out how to create encounters and stuff is part of it. So I've just been asking people, how would you do this? And then just coming up with the monsters and trying to figure out how how tough they need to be. And once you figure that out, which you do if you kill somebody, then you figure out how tough the monsters need to be. Then you can look at it and go, okay, I know that the monsters need to be this big or this.
You only killed one character, so you got to make them tougher. That's what it comes down to. And, you know, and they got lucky. That's what I understood. I go, it was. And so when my character, I was actually like, yeah, this is real. This, you know, this is a good game, because I wasn't going to take anything for granted. And the other players weren't either. They're like, oh, okay, so this is.
So if your GM ever freaks out, and they may not freak out like I do, I don't hold my emotions very well. So
like, everybody, oh my god! I'm like, don't worry about it. It's fine. And I was like I said, I was happy. I'm like, man, this is good, because because I'm kind of a wimpy GM in a certain sense. I've never killed a character. Well, okay,
he's killed a character once.
Yeah, once. But you know, I'm usually, you know, for me, you know, they're playing. They want to be heroes. They want to play a heroic game. And that's what I want to give them. And so, you know, heroes never die, right? Like that kind of thing. They do get beat up quite a bit, but Jolene just, you know, took me out, no problem. I'm like, yeah, that's good. You know, that's showing me, you know, who's the boss.
It was very stressful.
So encounters, right? You got to think about what you want out of the encounter. You got to remember what the players want from the game.
And how they play.
Make an encounter. The challenge rating helps you figure out what level, kind of what monster. But, you know, you can tweak them a little bit to make them more powerful, less powerful, depending on what you think your players or you know your players are and what they're like.
Capable of.
Another thing is location. Locations really change the dynamic of the game. It makes it, you know, they have to play with, they have all kinds of things they can hide behind, they can utilize in the game. And that's it. That's the thing about encounters. And, you know, always try to go after those three facts, you know, fun, you know, imaginative and memorable. Those things, if you have something, an encounter like that, then, you know, people are going to talk about that encounter for the rest of their lives.
And just remember, all encounters don't involve fighting.
Yes, they don't all involve fighting. There's, you know, social encounters.
I haven't gotten to those yet.
Investigation encounters. Yeah. And, you know, and so, yeah, in this group that she's running, my group, you know, they think everything's a nail and the hammer is the best tool for everything, right? So good luck with your encounters. Do a little bit of homework. You know, like I said, just know your players. That is a huge bonus. Know what they're capable of. And
good luck.
Good luck. This is Gamers Perspectives with Saul.
And Jolene.
And you guys have a good day.